Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon. Happy Monday, everybody. It's the first Monday in October of 2021, and we're glad that you're here today. Today's topic, as Pope Francis calls for a Chrislam summit in Rome at the Vatican, Communist China is preparing for the invasion of Taiwan. There is so much happening in end times news today, I almost couldn't decide what direction to go in. Do I talk about the one world religion Chrislam conclave happening at the Vatican right now? That will bring the false religion of Gaia to the United Nations Climate Conference? Do I talk about Russia for the very first time firing sub-launched hypersonic missiles? Or the coming invasion of Taiwan by Communist China? How about we talk about the massive supply chain crisis that is happening right now with 500,000 containers that are unable to be unloaded and processed in the port at Los Angeles? I have an idea. Let's talk about all of it. Jeremiah 25, verses 15 and 16 say, "For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it, and they shall drink, and be moved, and be mad because of the sword I will send among them." On this episode of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, we have an end times embarrassment of riches with the cup of the Lord that is rapidly filling up to the top. Today is day 638 of 15 days to flatten the curve, and the world is literally coming apart at the seams everywhere you look. We're going to look at all of it to show you the eye-popping progress being made by the New World Order as they continue their mad quest to implode our global society and economy in order to remake it in their demonic image. The prophecies mentioned in Ezekiel 39 are on deck, and the world powers mentioned in those passages are doing right now what they have been ordained to do. This lost world is on a collision course with its prophetic destiny, and it is all being waged under the battle flag of COVID-19. You better put your big boy pants on for this show, because you're going to need it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered, Lord. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people listening right now, almost 200 people in the chat room. And we pray today, Lord, that something would be said and done to lead a lost soul to Jesus Christ. I love that song, "Just One More Soul." And we love it, Lord, when you lead people to get saved through our podcasts and Bible studies. And Father God, we pray today for all the needs of everyone here and for all the people on our prayer list. I can't pull up that prayer list right now because Facebook is down. You've heard me correctly. Facebook is not operating right now. And that's where the prayer list is. But I do remember some of the things from the prayer list, absolutely. We pray for the Morris's salvation. And we pray for Judy, who's battling with COVID. Praise report from Steve Markovich. He's out of the hospital. What else we got here? My memory. Judy, Shannon's mom, Judy. We're praying for Sammy in South Africa. And we've been praying for her for a couple of days now. She's been diagnosed with leukemia. And I ask you to keep her in your prayer requests. And here it is. Here's the prayer list coming to me from Telegram. Thank you, Lorianne. We pray for Sarah for salvation. We pray for Rebecca Jacobs, who's battling cancer, and we pray for her salvation as well. Greg and Melissa Price. Shayla Clark's husband, Glenn, for salvation. Julie Baird and her roommate battling COVID. Harmon's son, Michael, battling pancreatic cancer. Clayton Perry battling cancer. Jesse Spurlock battling cancer. A lot of cancer going around. We're praying for Hal, who needs a lung transplant. Jay from Wisconsin's husband, Bob, who's going to have heart surgery on Thursday. Deborah Campbell-Schuler is recovering from invasive eye surgery. Keep her in your prayers. Pastor John Ree and Pastor Danny in the Philippines. Pastor Fojon in Vietnam. We got a lot to pray for today. Southern Bell, who is getting better from COVID, and we pray for her to have a full healing. Father God, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we come before you today as your body, the church. We ask you, Lord, use us today to get something done for you. Lord, we are ready to go on the front lines of the end times. Send us, Lord, and we'll go. Whatever you call us to do, we'll do it, Lord, if you give us strength and grace and power. Can't do it unless you do it for us, Lord. We don't go in our own strength. We have no strength. But in Jesus Christ, we have it all. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8 says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I. Send me.'" I hope that's your prayer today, because it's my prayer today. It's my prayer every day. I have good days. I have bad days. I have days where I feel like I'm walking hand in hand with Jesus Christ. I have other days where I feel like I'm backslidden, and everything in between. That's just the sag, bag, and drag of some parts of the Christian life. Just like anything else, you have good days and bad days. "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." I hope that's your prayer today. Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we come before you and we thank you, we praise you. We commit this time to you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 Well, welcome to the program, everybody. Very glad that you are here. We're going to be installing into our bookstore website, BibleBeliever.com, we're going to be installing a calendar of events. Because for as long as the Lord is going to leave us here, we're going to try to use the time and the resources that we have to get something done for him. And the next event that we have coming up at the bookstore, if you're going to be in St. Augustine, November 2nd, it's a Tuesday night. We're going to have a very special presentation from Brother Michael, who is going to have with him a first edition King James 1611 Bible. And he's going to give a little presentation and some of the history. And if you're going to be in St. Augustine, we invite you. I haven't done an article on it yet, but I'll be doing that this week. But mark your calendar. If you can make it to on November 2nd to St. Augustine to our bookstore, very, very special King James Bible night. And then on November 20th, St. Augustine has what they call their Knights of Lights. About 15,000 people will be gathering together in downtown St. Augustine for the start of the holiday season. And every year, St. Augustine puts up millions of lights all across the downtown, America's oldest city. It's a Roman Catholic city. So what do you think that we're going to do this year for Knights of Lights? We're going to gather together at the bookstore. We're going to have a Bible study. And then we're going to get on a little bus and we're going to go to downtown St. Augustine. And we're going to preach and hand out gospel tracts to those 15,000 people. If you would like to join us, send me an email to info@nowtheendbegins.com. And I'll be doing an article about that, but mark your calendars. I've already had a number of people telling me that they can come. November 20th, we're meeting at the bookstore. We're going to have a little Bible study. And then we're all going to get on a little bus and we're going to go to downtown St. Augustine. We're going to preach and we're going to hand out gospel tracts. So if you can make it November 20th, I'm inviting you right now. This is your invitation. And if you can't make it, please pray for us. I would love to see 30 or 40 Now the End Begins people handing out 15,000 gospel tracts in one night. The most we've ever handed out on the street of St. Augustine was 2,000 gospel tracts in one day. There's going to be 15,000 people there that night. Let's get them. Let's get them for the Lord. All right. Love to see a full chat room on a Monday afternoon. A couple hundred people are ready. Welcome. We've had a lot of new listeners lately and very, very happy to welcome you to the Now the End Begins family of global believers. We are not just an American ministry. We are literally around the world. We support pastors around the world. Your donations help to get King James Bibles and gospel tracts to the Philippines and South Africa and Vietnam and Europe and Asia and all across America. October, we are on track for handing out 2,200 King James Bibles from our bookstore and from Bible Literature and Missionary Foundation in Shelbyville, Tennessee. This is, Lord willing, this is going to be our biggest month ever. 2,200 King James Bibles are scheduled to go out this month alone. And the only way that we can do it is because you pray for this ministry and you donate to this ministry. The more you give, the more we do. And I want to do a lot more. So pray about supporting Now the End Begins. We need your support. We are growing very rapidly. We have 4 billboards up around town. We are supporting a billboard in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And 2,200 King James Bibles this month alone. And it's only possible because you guys pray and you guys give. So let's step up our game and let's do a lot more. There's no reason why we can't do 3,000 or 4,000 King James Bibles every month. So please pray about that. All right. All right. All right. I'm telling you guys, there is so much happening right now. It is mind-boggling even to me. And I live with this stuff 7 days a week, every waking hour of the day. That is not an exaggeration. I think about the end times every waking hour of the day. And every once in a while, I even dream about it. And I was so excited the other day when Penny, she sent me this link. Pope Francis and the Vatican. Let's just start with the good stuff first. And by good stuff, you know what I mean. Stuff that shows that the rapture is a whole lot closer than we thought it was, even though we're looking for it every day. When we say the good stuff, we mean the New World Order, the One World Religion. When we say the good stuff, we're talking about all of the things that the scripture of truth has prophesied would happen one day, someday, and we are watching it happen in front of our very eyes. When I say the good stuff, that's what I'm talking about. If you're saved and you're headed for heaven, That's not the good stuff. That's the great stuff. Those are the positive prophecies of God. Jesus said, all that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus says, a bruised reed and a smoking flax, I will not quench. Even if you have just a little bit of strength, Jesus says he'll meet you where you are. And if you want to get saved, he'll save you. Jesus says in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That's not the good stuff. That's the great stuff. Now the good stuff is all the negative Bible prophecy. Yeah, I'm a little crazy when it comes to Bible prophecy. I like it all. I like every bit of it. I like the positive stuff. I like the negative stuff. I like the stuff that talks about the one world religion and Chrislam and the New World Order. I love all that stuff. Why? Because those are prophecies from God. Those are prophecies from God. And Penny sent me a link over the weekend. Pope Francis and the Vatican will bring the one world religion of Chrislam to the United Nations. Their annual climate conference. This year they're calling it COP26. It's going to be in Glasgow, Scotland. And one thing that makes this year's climate conference different, it's going to have the full support of the Vatican. Pope Francis is going to be a keynote speaker. So to prepare for that conference, and would you like to take a guess what night that conference is starting? It goes the whole first week of November. But if you know the Roman Catholic Church like I know the Roman Catholic Church, if you were going to have something that you were going to attend that would have to do with the end times and it was going to be the first week of November, when would you start that conference? You would start it on Halloween night. And that's exactly what they're doing. This year's climate conference at the United Nations, sponsored by the United Nations. It's in Glasgow, Scotland. That's where my grandfather was born. And Pope Francis is going to be a keynote speaker. And they're going to start the whole demonic process on Halloween night, October 31st. The Bible talks about climate change. You ever read about climate change in the Bible? I love climate change in the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief of the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. You want some climate change? There's some climate change for you. 2 Peter chapter 3. Just read the whole chapter sometime. You'll get all the climate change you can stand. And make no mistake about it, this climate absolutely is changing. It's just not getting warmer. They had to change the name from global warming to climate change because even a lost person knows that the system that God created changes all the time. So when they finally got their marketing correct and they changed it from global warming, I read an article yesterday, the ice in Antarctica is the thickest it's ever been, and they are currently having a deep freeze right now. Coldest temperatures ever recorded. Global warming's not happening. Climate change absolutely is. But the climate change that the Bible talks about, that can't be stopped. So Pope Francis has decided, in preparation for this climate change conference that starts on Halloween night, October 31st, in Glasgow, Scotland, not only is Pope Francis going to be a keynote speaker, not only is he going to be preaching the gospel of Gaia, and if you don't know what Gaia is, well, just go to nowtheendbegins.com and type the word Gaia, G-A-I-A, into the search box. We've done many articles about the New World religion of Gaia. It is Earth worship. And we've been telling you about Pope Francis and his fascination with Gaia worship, straight out of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, just turn there for a moment, because Romans chapter 1 shows you that in the last days there will be people who will worship the planet. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 20, Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and to creeping things. What is that? That is Gaia worship. So what is Pope Francis going to do? I said all that to say this. What is Pope Francis going to do to prepare for the UN climate change event that starts on Halloween night? Well, I'll tell you what he's going to do. Today in Rome, this morning, and I have an audio to play for you. This morning in Rome, the Vatican decided to get a jump start on the UN climate conference, and Pope Francis ordered 40 leaders of all the world's religions to come to the Vatican for something that he's calling Faith and Science Towards COP26. The Bible talks about science. 1 Timothy 6:20-21. 1 Timothy 6:20-21. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so-called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. So in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 20 and 21, Paul is warning Timothy to keep the faith and not let the false oppositions of science knock him off his track. So Pope Francis today, and you're going to love this audio clip. This audio clip sounds like it was taken from a chick track. This audio clip sounds like it was taken from one of the Left Behind books. This audio clip, if you like the end times, this audio clip is fantastic. I'm going to play it for you, and we're going to comment as we go along. Take a listen to this, recorded live in the Vatican this morning. Pope Francis and his Faith and Science Towards COP26 Chrislam. Take a listen.
Over the last few months, through dialogue and human effort, they have woven the fabric of an appeal, the Faith Leaders' Appeal, addressed to the 26th Conference of the Parties, the 2021 United Nations Climate Change Conference that will be held in Glasgow in November this year. As we begin this meeting, we shall listen to the reading of the executive summary of the appeal, while the representatives of the world religions come forth and sign the document, marking their commitment and their call to COP26.
So if you were watching this video of events that took place this morning, Italy is about 7 hours ahead of us. So right now it's about 7:30 in the evening in the Vatican right now. But this morning, if you were to watch this video, all of the leaders of the world's religions were lining up 6 feet apart. They're all wearing face masks and they're signing their name on this big book. And when they sign their name in that book, they are bowing to Pope Francis and telling him that they support what he's doing. If you've ever read any chick track gospel tracks, if you've ever watched any of those cheesy end times movies from the 70s, like A Thief in the Night, that's exactly what it looked like in the Vatican this morning. So those cheesy end time Christian movies, they're actually pretty accurate. But it gets worse. Keep listening.
Today, after months of dialogue between faith leaders and scientists,
there it is.
We come together, united, to raise awareness of the unprecedented challenges that threaten our beautiful common home.
Oh, it's so creepy.
Our faiths and spiritualities teach a duty to care for the human family and for the environment in which it lives. We are deeply interdependent with each other and with the natural world. We are not limitless masters of our planet and its resources.
Isn't that interesting? That woman just said that we are not the masters of this planet. Isn't that a really, really strange statement? When God created the Garden of Eden and he put Adam in that garden, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And here you have this creepy, robotic-sounding woman in the Vatican, sounding like a chick track. And she's telling you that all the world leaders of all the religions are gathering together. And they are not the masters of this world. Why? Because she'll tell you in just a little bit. The world is the master of us. Gaia.
Multiple crises facing humanity are ultimately linked to a crisis of values, ethical and spiritual. We are caretakers of the natural environment with the vocation to care for it for future generations and the moral obligation to cooperate in the healing of the planet. We must address these challenges.
Hold on a second. Do you realize what this woman is saying? She is speaking from the Vatican. She is speaking with the authorization of Pope Francis. Bruce Bridges says she sounds like the Giant commercial. Yes. Yes, she absolutely does. This is what the Roman Catholic Church is producing. This is the end times. This is what the one world religion looks like. And they're all meeting today in Rome right now.
Using the knowledge of science and the wisdom of religion, we must think long term for the sake of the whole of humanity.
So she wants you to use science and religion. If I was there, I think at this point I would just raise my hand like I'm sitting in the classroom and I would say, excuse me, are we going to talk about Jesus Christ now? Are we going to talk about the Bible now? Are we going to talk about God the Father? Are we going to talk about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Excuse me, miss, can we talk about Jesus now? Do you realize what's missing from all of this? There's no God. There's no Bible. There's no Jesus Christ. There is science and the world's religions. This is what I've been telling you for 12 years. And now they're telling you. Maya Angelou said, "When somebody shows you who they are, believe them."
Now is the time to take transformative action as a common response.
We need a framework of hope and courage. But we also need to change the narrative of development. Climate change is a grave threat. We advocate for common but differentiated climate action at all levels. The world is called to achieve net zero carbon emissions as soon as possible, with wealthier countries taking the lead in reducing their own emissions and in financing emission reductions from poorer nations.
Now, I'm going to ask a rhetorical question. Do you know why that woman is not mentioning Jesus Christ, the God of Abraham, and the Holy Bible? Do you know why the man who is speaking is not referencing Jesus Christ, the God of Abraham, and the Holy Bible? The reason why they are not mentioning these things that are the cornerstones of salvation, of the cornerstones of the Christian faith, the cornerstone of the Bible, they don't mention these things because the people that they have gathered together do not believe those things. They have assembled the world's religions. The world's religions don't care at all about Jesus Christ, the God of Abraham, or the Bible in any version. This is why they're doing that. And when you have the one world religion, it is going to be a godless mess with no Bible, no God of Abraham, and no Jesus Christ. And this stuff that I'm giving you today, this is happening right now. This audio that you're listening to took place 7 hours ago. This news, this end times update could not be any more fresh and hot off the presses than it is right now. And this is what they're telling you. No God, no Bible, no Jesus Christ. But they've gathered all the world's religions at the Vatican.
All governments must adopt a trajectory that will limit the global average temperature rise to 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels.
Did you hear what the man just said, speaking on behalf of the Vatican? All governments must adopt what they're telling them they have to adopt. If you've ever read Revelation 17 and 18, then you know exactly what you're hearing. Revelation 17 shows you a spiritual kingdom. That's the Roman Catholic Church. Revelation 18 shows you a political kingdom. That's the Vatican. Did you know that Vatican City is its own country? Did you know that Vatican City has a king? And the king of Vatican City is Pope Francis. And as a king, they dictate to other nations. And you heard that man say, on the authority of Pope Francis, the world's governments must adopt. Oh, really? Because you say so? That's right. Revelation 18 shows you the Vatican City state is a country and the Pope is a king. Wake up, people. Habakkuk 1:5, behold ye among the heathen and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. I'm telling you right now, I'm showing you what's happening.
We beg those nations with the greatest responsibility and present capacity to provide substantial financial support to vulnerable countries and to agree new targets to enable them to become climate resilient and to adapt to and to address climate change. The rights of indigenous peoples and local communities must be given special attention.
To favor transition to clean energy, adopt sustainable land use practices.
There she is again.
Transform food systems to become environmentally friendly and respectful of local cultures. End hunger. And to promote sustainable lifestyles and patterns of consumption and production. Full consideration must be given to the effects on the workforce of this transition. We call upon financial institutions, banks, and investors to adopt responsible financing, and on civil society organizations and everyone to face these challenges in a spirit of collaboration.
For our part, we underline the importance of deepening our efforts to bring about a change of heart among members of our traditions in the way we relate to the earth and to other people.
There it is. We call upon the people with their traditions as they relate to the earth. That is the one world religion of Chrislam. And Pope Francis has been preaching this for a number of years now. All you have to do is go to nowtheendbegins.com, go to news categories, go to the Roman Catholic Church and click on the link for Chrislam. Now the End Begins is one of the very first websites that ever reported on Chrislam. Everybody knows about it now, but back in 2009 and 2010 and 2011, Whenever I would mention Chrislam to somebody, nobody knew what I was talking about. Now the End Begins told you about Chrislam almost before anybody else did. The Lord gave us the inside track on that. And people said that we were crazy, that it would never happen. We are already 2 years, 2.5 years after the time that Pope Francis signed the End Times Covenant with the Sunni Islam master in Abu Dhabi. Doesn't that seem like it was a long time ago? Doesn't it seem like it was 100 years ago? It was only 2.5 years ago. And you remember that day. We reported on it February 25th of 2019. We showed you Pope Francis kissing a Muslim imam on the mouth as a sign of their spiritual intimacy. And we showed you this End Times Covenant. That is the declaration. It is the constitution of the one world religion of Chrislam. And it's been 2.5 years since Pope Francis signed that paper. And now in the Vatican, what do we have? The leaders of all the world's religions meeting with Pope Francis at the Vatican to prepare for a climate change Gaia worshiping conference that starts on Halloween night. I can't even say that without laughing. It's not really all that funny. But man, oh man, it's crazy. And it's exactly what we've been telling people was coming for years. And here it is. Surprise, surprise.
Encouraging our educational and cultural institutions to strengthen and prioritize integral ecological education. Participating actively in the public discourse on environmental issues. Engaging our congregations and institutions with their neighbors to build sustainable, resilient, and just communities.
I can't take much more of these people.
Emphasizing the importance of reducing carbon emissions. Encouraging our communities to embrace sustainable lifestyles. Striving to align our financial investments with environmentally and socially responsible standards, and evaluating the goods we purchase and the services we hire with the same ethical lens.
I can't take much more of these people.
Future generations will never forgive us if we miss the opportunity to protect our common home. We have inherited a garden. We must not leave a desert for our children. Scientists have warned us that there might be only one decade left to restore the planet.
Oh no.
We plead with the international community gathered at COP26 to take speedy, responsible, and shared action to safeguard, restore, and heal our wounded humanity and the home entrusted to our stewardship. We appeal to everyone to join us on this common journey.
No thanks. I will not be joining you on this common journey, but I'll be more than happy to expose your evil deeds, to publish them in article form, and to send them out around the world so that everyone may know about the evil demonic nature of the Roman Catholic Church, that the Vatican is the whore of Babylon, and that Pope Francis is the false prophet. I'll be more than happy to do that. So there you have it. You have Pope Francis. And every day this week, they're going to be meeting at the Vatican, and we'll give you updates as they happen. But it's getting creepier and creepier and creepier. But Pope Francis has been doing this for years. I saw in the chat room every time that I mention Chrislam, somebody mentions the name of Rick Warren. Now, you haven't heard much from Rick Warren lately, because Rick Warren actually is retired. He is no longer the pastor at Saddleback Church. And Rick Warren is probably going to work much more closely with the Vatican. Why do I say that? Well, listen to this little clip that was produced by the Vatican 2 years ago. Rick Warren appearing in a Vatican-produced video defending the Roman Catholic Church. Take a listen.
We have far more in common than what divides us. When you talk about Pentecostals, charismatics, evangelicals, fundamentalists, Catholics, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, and on and on and on. Well, they would all say, we believe in the Trinity. We believe in the Bible. We believe in the resurrection. We believe salvation is through Jesus Christ. These are the big issues. Sometimes Protestants think that Catholics worship Mary like she's another god. But that's not exactly Catholic doctrine. There's the understanding, and people say, well, what are the saints all about? Why are you praying to the saints? And when you understand what they mean by what they're saying, there's a whole lot more commonality. Now, there's still real differences. No doubt about that. But the most important thing is, if you love Jesus, we're on the same team. The unity that I think we would see realistically is not a structural unity, but a unity of mission. And so when it comes to the family, we are co-workers in the field on this for the protection of what we call the sanctity of life, the sanctity of sex, and the sanctity of marriage. So there's a great commonality, and there's no division on any of those three. Many times people have been beaten down for taking a biblical stance, and they start to feel, well, maybe I'm out here all by yourself. No, you're not. The church is growing in Latin America. The church is growing in Asia. The church is growing in Africa. It's not growing in North America or Europe.
When Rick Warren says the church is growing in South America, do you know what church he's talking about? He's not talking about the Christian church. He's talking about the Roman Catholic Church. Do you realize what you're listening to? You're listening to a paid commercial to promote the Roman Catholic Church with Rick Warren as the spokesman.
But it is growing everywhere else. And so we kind of have this feeling that maybe we're not as influential, but we're far more influential than people realize.
So there you have Rick Warren, and again, I need to stress to you, that commercial that you just heard was written, created, produced, and financed by the Vatican. Rick Warren was the pitchman, and the product that he was promoting was the Roman Catholic Church. Now, just so you can hear the other side of the fence, I want you to listen to what this Roman Catholic priest had to say about the first time he ever met Rick Warren. And I want you to hear about the strange thing that took place when this Roman Catholic priest met Rick Warren for the first time. It's going to blow you away. Take a listen.
By the way, I got to tell you the story. A couple of years ago, I was part of a small group of Catholic leaders who met with the Protestant pastor, Rick Warren, in Saddleback Church. And there was 30 of us in the room, and he came in. And sometimes people, I hear a lot of Catholics say, oh, Rick Warren, you know, big mega church, those Americans, blah, 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 blah. This guy's the real deal, I got to tell you. He's a beautiful, humble man, holy man,
mm-hmm.
incredibly gifted.
Oh, yeah.
He sat down, I was sitting in the front row, and he was actually closer to me than you are. And he leaned forward and pulled out of his back pocket of his jeans a dog-eared, tattered, first edition copy of Evangelii Nuncianti. And he opened it up and he started to teach us from Pope Paul VI. And I was kind of looking and I could see it was all underlined and writings in the comma and highlighted. It was amazing. So this was an amazing document. And what?
So there you have that Roman Catholic priest. And he's telling you that the very first time he ever met Rick Warren was at a conference of Catholic bishops. And the very first thing that Rick Warren does is he begins to teach these Catholic priests about Roman doctrine. Isn't that an amazing thing? I mean, think of all the bad things that you could say about Rick Warren. All the true bad things about his doctrinal positions and all the nonsense that he's constantly doing and all the crap that he pulls. But here you have a Roman Catholic priest telling you that Rick Warren, very first thing he did, he didn't want to talk about Jesus Christ. He didn't want to talk about the Bible. He wanted to teach priests about Roman Catholic doctrine. Well, if you're somebody who can teach a Catholic priest about Roman Catholic doctrine, you must know that really, really, really well. Rick Warren is a hireling. Rick Warren is a deceiver. Rick Warren is a mouthpiece for the Vatican. And I just wanted to play that commercial for you, because a lot of the times I'll say things and people say, you know, why are you so hard on those people? Well, rather than me telling you about them, it's much more effective if you can listen to what they say, the words that come out of their own mouth, and then you can hear what the truth is. One more Rick Warren clip and we'll move on. This was about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, shortly after Pope Francis became the Pope. Rick Warren went on EWTN in an interview with Raymond Arroyo. And this is what Rick Warren had to say about the new Catholic Pope. Take a listen.
Authenticity, humility. Pope Francis is the perfect example of this.
Uh-huh.
He's doing everything right.
Oh, boy.
You see, people will listen to what we say if they like what they see. Mm-hmm. And as our new Pope, he was very, very symbolic in, you know, his first mass with people of AIDS, his kissing of the disformed man, yeah. His loving the children, this authenticity, this humility, the caring for the poor. This is what the whole...
Wait a minute. Did he just say our new Pope, Pope Francis? Do Christians have a Pope? I don't think we do.
The whole world expects us Christians to do. And when they go, oh, that's what a Christian does. In fact, there's a headline here in Orange County, and I love the headline. I saved it. It said, if you love Pope Francis, you'll love Jesus. That was the headline.
If you love Pope Francis, you'll love Jesus. Shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't Jesus Christ be the premier figure? Kind of like if you love Jesus Christ, you love D.L. Moody. Because D.L. Moody was a great preacher. But that's not what Rick Warren said. Rick Warren didn't say, if you love Jesus Christ, you'll love Pope Francis. He said, if you love Pope Francis, you'll love Jesus Christ. Words have meaning.
That was the headline. Oh. It was the headline. I saved it. I showed it to a group of priests I was speaking to a while back.
I showed it to a group of priests that I was speaking to a while back. Isn't it amazing how so many audio clips that have to do with Rick Warren are connected to the Catholic Church? So why are we talking about Rick Warren? Because Rick Warren, he was the original Laodicean Christian to begin to promote Chrislam. That's where Chrislam comes from. And Rick Warren, going back as far as 2001, began to promote the one world religion of Chrislam. All the way up to 2019, when he handed the baton to Pope Francis, who kissed the Muslim imam on the mouth and signed their Declaration of Human Fraternity. That's where Chrislam comes from. So even though Rick Warren is preparing to retire, or I think he has already retired from Saddleback Church, you are going to continue to hear from Rick Warren because he is a paid spokesman for the Roman Catholic Church. All right, let's get to our other top story today. China, over the weekend, 77 warplanes flying over Taiwan. Drudge Report, liberal as they may be, has a screaming headline. China flies more warplanes over Taiwan. Mainland must crush. Taipei preps for battle. Beijing warns the United States. That's what's happening right now. China is preparing to invade Taiwan. They are sending dozens and dozens and dozens of warplanes over the capital city of Taipei. They have been doing it in smaller doses all year long. And this weekend, they decided to really amp it up. Beijing appears to believe now is the time to test America's resolve. Can you think of any reason why China, Communist China, might be thinking that now is a good time to test America's resolve? Could it have anything to do with the weakness of the Biden administration? Could it have anything to do with the millions of dollars that Hunter Biden received from Communist China? Could it have anything to do with the child pornography on Hunter Biden's laptop? Is Joe Biden being blackmailed right now? I think these are all fair questions. Today, China flew an unprecedented 52 warplanes over Taiwanese airspace today. They flew 77 over the weekend. China mounts largest incursion near Taiwan, blames the United States for the tensions. Why do you think China is doing it right now? Could it be that China watched Afghanistan? Could it be that China watched the Biden administration kills 7 children with a drone strike? Could it be that China watched the United States abandon hundreds of American citizens in Kabul? Could it be that I think these are good questions. Could it be that China watched the United States give the Taliban $2 billion worth of war fighting materials? Could any of these things be possible? Could all of these things be possible? China, well, the Bible talks about the kings of the East, and China would certainly qualify to be at least part of the kings of the East. China's been watching the Biden administration very closely, and they know that now is the time to strike. You know, when Donald Trump was president, China really didn't have much to say at all. If I remember correctly, Donald Trump declared a trade war with China and said that things were lopsided and it was time to change the dynamic. And everybody said that Trump was crazy and that Trump was going to cause World War III. And guess what happened? China blustered and they said some stuff. But for 4 years, China didn't do anything. For 4 years, Iran didn't do anything. For 4 years, North Korea didn't do anything. Well, here we are. We are 9 months into the Biden regime. And Russia has fired, for the very first time, they have fired hypersonic missiles that were launched from a submarine. And everybody's talking about what a provocative move that is. Russia did that over the weekend. China today is flying 52 of their best fighters over the nation of Taiwan and telling the United States that war is coming. Take a listen to this this clip from Awaken with JP.
Good evening, moron. Tonight's top stories. People are dying in Afghanistan because Biden's endorsing the Taliban. Critical thinking is getting vilified. Border Patrol agents are being punished for doing their job. And truth isn't true anymore. Plus, additional propaganda. Ha ha! But first, the Taliban, who President Biden is supporting by giving them $85 billion worth of U.S. military equipment, plus giving them a whole country, Afghanistan, had a great weekend. They celebrated the weekend by hanging a man that they killed on display in a town square with a note pinned to his chest. President Biden has recently praised the terrorist organization as being very businesslike and professional. The Taliban has announced they'll be executing people and amputating hands and feet as punishments for anyone who breaks their laws. Very inspirational for all business people and professionals alike. According to Biden, apparently. The Taliban have also banned women from working at and studying at the University of Kabul. Very businesslike. Right, Mr. President? In this picture, you can see that we want you to see a Border Patrol agent mercilessly whipping an illegal immigrant trying to cross our border. And unfortunately, this picture shows we were exposed for trying to deceive you when it was found out that no Border Patrol agents were whipping anyone. unfortunately. Though it didn't stop the Biden administration from spreading this misinformation, and in an effort to divert your attention from the absolute disaster that they've intentionally created at the border. Biden, who had to drop out of the 1988 presidential race when he was caught plagiarizing a speech, still went on to condemn the Border Patrol agents who were doing their job. Saying of the Border Patrol agents on horses, "I promise you, those people will pay." Fun fact, due process, which means you're innocent until proven guilty, is a constitutional right. And when someone plays judge and jury by themselves, that's called an authoritarian. I wonder what the Biden administration really thinks of the Constitution. Oh, this just in. The Constitution of the United States has had a harmful content warning applied to it by the National Archives. The U.S. Constitution is a document that guarantees freedom to all Americans, and this document has now been deemed harmful by the Biden administration. And indeed, with respect to the communist regime that's done a delightfully treasonous job of taking over the U.S., the Constitution and its freedoms are in fact harmful to their agenda. And of course, super unrelated, the Arizona election audit.
So there you have Awaken with JP, and he is showing you what the Biden administration is doing intentionally. Now, in an unrelated matter, I'm getting messages right now that people on Telegram can no longer hear the broadcast today. There's nothing wrong with the broadcast. There is a global internet outage that is taking place right now. Facebook is down. Instagram is down. WhatsApp is down. And they don't know how far that this is extending. So just so that you know, prepare, there is a global internet outage in certain parts of the world happening right now. And this started roughly around 11:45 this morning. So if you're having trouble hearing this broadcast, it is not us. There is a massive breakdown of the internet happening right now. Now, that really fits very well into what we're talking about and all these global crazy situations that are going on. At some point, they're going to be shutting down the internet for long periods of time because too many people like us communicate with each other through the internet. So prepare yourself for the coming internet outages. A few minutes ago, I got a message from Jose, who's a doctor, and he says, I feel like we're living in the tribulation because of the vaccine mandates. I am working with the government, and I think that Jose is from the Philippines. If you could just post where you're from, Jose. I think you're from the Philippines or Sri Lanka. I can't remember. But Jose is a doctor, and he just posted this message in the chat room just a few moments ago. And he says that I feel like we're living in the tribulation because of the vaccine mandates. I am working with the government, but I do not know how much longer I can resist. Jose says he's from Belize. Thank you, Jose. So Jose is writing to us from Belize. And he says that all these vaccine mandates make it feel like he's living in the tribulation. Well, we're not in the tribulation. But I do agree, it's starting to feel like it, no question about it. We have that blessed hope of the pre-trib rapture. But we're living in the overlap. So we're starting to see the world prepare for the tribulation. Absolutely we are. We are not in the tribulation. But it feels like it. So Jose has a question. And he says, and I believe others who do not work with the government but independently do not have this problem. And he asks me, Would I get the vaccine card if they offered it to you without the necessity of getting the vaccine? Is that a sin? Please enlighten me with the word of God. I am near the brink of dilapidation. So Jose is writing from Belize, and he's having a lot of trouble with the vaccine mandates. And the only thing that I can give you, brother, from the Bible, and that question, you got to take that question to the Lord in prayer. My opinion's not going to do much for you. You've got to take that to the Lord. And if you're saved, you got the Holy Spirit, God will answer you. So the question is, would I take a vaccine card without taking the vaccine? And the answer is, I probably would not. The Bible calls us to be truthful. But again, I'm not in that situation. I don't think that I would do it. But maybe I would. I honestly don't know. But the Bible does say this in Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, verses 41 and 42. Acts chapter 5, verses 41 and 42. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. And this is what happened to Peter, James, and John. The Apostle Paul talks about the apostles being the off-scouring of the world. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 4, 11 through 13. 1 Corinthians 4, 11 through 13. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. So I want to take a moment and pray for Jose and for everybody who is facing this situation. My advice is to take it to the Lord personally. To get on your knees, open your Bible, and ask God to give you wisdom. I don't think that I would take it. But again, that's me personally. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. Lord, Jose wants to know, is it right or wrong to take a pretend vaccination card without taking the vaccine to try and fool the government? Lord, we lift up Jose and everybody who has this question, everybody who is looking for a religious exemption. Lord, you show us, Lord, what you would want us to do. I know, God, that your word says that we are called to be bold. And we are called, Father God, to witness the gospel of the grace of God. So, Father God, for everybody who has this question, we pray, Lord, that you would give insight, that you would give the wisdom of your Holy Spirit. Matthew 14, 30 and 31, Lord, save me, and immediately Jesus. Lord, save me, and immediately Jesus. Please give Jose the wisdom that he needs in Belize. And for all the people all around the world who write to me and ask me this same question, it's a good question. You show us, Lord, how you would want us to represent you in these last days and in these end times. Take care of us, Lord, and take care of our needs. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So getting back to China. China right now is telling the United States that war is coming in Taiwan. On Friday, China celebrated its National Day. And over the last 4 days, they have sent up 150 aircraft, warcraft, over the nation of Taiwan. The latest mission that happened just an hour ago included 34 J-16 jet fighters and 12 nuclear-capable H-6 bombers. Do you think China is serious? Do you think China is just bluffing? They sent up 12 nuclear-capable H-6 bombers. And they did that earlier this morning. What do you think the United States is going to do? If you had a guess, what do you think the Biden response is going to be after Hunter Biden has received millions of dollars from communist China? After it's been found that Hunter Biden has child pornography on his laptop, do you think that Joe Biden is being blackmailed right now? Well, let's see what the United States response is going to be. I don't know. Maybe Biden will surprise everybody. And he'll step up with a great American show of force, just like he did in Afghanistan. Oh, wait. Yeah, no, he didn't do that in Afghanistan. Joe Biden allowed the Taliban to receive $2 billion worth of war-fighting materials. And he laughed about it and then refused to take questions from the press and then went on vacation and went out to Delaware and was photographed eating ice cream. That's what Joe Biden did after he gave $2 billion worth of supplies to the Taliban. You know what Joe Biden did in Afghanistan? Joe Biden single-handedly created the most well-funded terror state that exists anywhere in the world right now. And he did it while the entire world watched. And when he received the criticism, he just simply refused to take questions. He refused to answer. Lie, lie, lie. Deny, deny, deny. Deflect, deflect, deflect. That's what Michael Savage says about the Biden administration. Lie, lie, lie. Deny, deny, deny. And then when you get caught, deflect, deflect, deflect. The Taliban calls their special forces Badri 313. And those special forces were created by the $2 billion gift left to them by Joe Biden. So I said all that to say this. What do you think Joe Biden's going to do about China and Taiwan? He's not going to do anything. He's going to let China step in and do whatever they want to do. China has already prepaid to have America step down and to throw this fight. I'm not talking about the men and the women of the United States military. I'm not talking about the infantry. I'm not talking about the soldiers. Those guys are the good guys. I'm talking about the generals. I'm talking about the Pentagon. I'm talking about the White House. Those guys are the bad guys. Facebook is still down. That's some pretty scary stuff. When a $50 billion corporation can't get their stuff back online after an hour and a half. What do you think's happening right now? Well, the whole world is coming apart. The wheels have come off the bus. And what you're watching is the end times on every single level. You're watching it socially. You're watching it militarily. You're watching it religiously. And you're watching it economically. If you remember last year, when you couldn't buy toilet paper and you couldn't buy like antibacterial soap, remember last year with the lockdown and there were all these things that you couldn't buy? Well, there was a supply chain crisis. You want to know what's happening right now? A massive supply chain crisis is happening right now. The Guardian UK reports today from Liverpool to Los Angeles. Shortages of energy, labor, and transportation are threatening recovery from COVID. The Guardian writes, it was all going so well. Successful vaccination programs were driving the post-pandemic recovery of the global economy. Stock markets were back at record highs, and prices were rising just enough to make deflation fears a thing of the past. But then, dun dun dun, a supply crunch has happened. Shortly before we went on air, I heard from NTEB representatives that China right now is shutting down factories all across China because of a COVID outbreak. And we have some people on the inside in the nation of China letting us know this. China right now is shutting down factories at an alarming rate. Right now off the coast of California, 500,000 shipping containers are just sitting there. It's gotten so bad that companies like Costco, Home Depot, IKEA are now sending their own ships to get the supplies that they need. This is how bad that it is. So one thing that you need to prepare yourself for, not just in America, but around the world, is it's highly possible that you're going to start seeing the empty shelves as we get closer to winter. Because all this stuff that's happening is being done deliberately. It's being done willfully and intentionally. So, if you're the type of person that likes to stock up a little bit, now would be a good time to do that with toilet paper, paper towels, antibacterial soap, shampoo, toothpaste. Now would be a good time to stock up. Because if present trends continue, it looks like we're heading into an economic storm, especially here in America, as inflation is beginning to reach staggering levels. And God help us if Joe Biden's $3.5 trillion budget gets put through. That will be the death of America. And that's what they're pushing for right now. That's the battle that's going on in Washington right now. And inflation is reaching, well, it's starting to climb up to scary levels. So this is what's happening today with our first broadcast of October. This is where everything is heading. Pope Francis in the Vatican has assembled together 40 of the world's religious leaders. You heard the ultra creepy opening to their conference. China is flying hydrogen bomb capable bombers over Taiwan and telling the United States to prepare for war. Economic crisis, inflation, and supply chain breakdowns. People like Jose in Belize wondering what to do about the required, the mandated vaccination passport that you can only get when you take the vaccine. These are the times that we're living in. So what I advise all of us to do, Isaiah chapter 6, the Lord talking to Isaiah. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat and make their ears heavy. And shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. And I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant and the houses without man and the land be utterly desolate and the Lord have removed men far away and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. This is where we are. On the end times timeline, we who are saved are waiting for flight 777 on Titus 2:13 Airlines, the pre-tribulation rapture. If you're lost, we invite you to get saved. John 3:16 said, and this is the verse where I got saved, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Because if you don't get saved, all these things that we're talking about, that we are only going to see the very beginnings of, but if you miss that rapture and you wind up in the tribulation, this is your future. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want any part of that. And for those of you who are saved, I've said this many times before, and I'll say it again. Whatever you're doing for the Lord, double it, triple it. If you're handing out gospel tracts, double the amount of what you do. If you're praying for things like this ministry and other ministries, praying for your church to get something done for the Lord, double your prayer life. If you're giving, if you're helping to fund things like our gospel witness billboard program and our free Bible and tract program, where we're sending out 2,200 King James Bibles this month alone, double your support of that. Only one life will soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. The war is real and the battle is hot. And the time is short. To the fight. You've got to get in that fight. When I was playing that clip from the Vatican, and that really creepy woman, and she was talking about all that creepy end time stuff that the Vatican is doing with their Gaia climate change conference, I saw a lot of people in the chat room saying, "That's my king. Do you know him?" And I can think of no better way to end this broadcast than with that. Thank you for tuning in. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another edition of our Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. To the fight!
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him.